This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Betsy McCoy, former Lieutenant Governor of New York. She's also the founder and chairman of the Committee to Reduce Infection Deaths, and she has been closely scrutinizing the proposed health care legislation coming out of the House of Representatives with a focus on how it impacts patients if, in fact, this were to be implemented. And Betsy, it's a great pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you. And I've been particularly concerned about the impact on seniors because older people are going to bear the brunt under this legislation. The health legislation is paid for in part with tax increases. Everybody's heard about those. But it's also paid for with a $500 billion cut in Medicare over the next 10 years. That's about a 10% reduction in the Medicare budget. At the same time that 30% more people are going to be enrolling in Medicare as the baby boomers reach that age. And you heard the president in his New Hampshire town hall meeting refer to that $500 billion cut. But the fact is, it's going to have a terrible impact on patient care because it's going to mean fewer hip replacements, fewer knee replacements, fewer bypass surgeries, fewer angioplasties, the procedures that really enable people to live into their later years on their feet and active instead of trapped in a wheelchair or in a nursing home.
Betsy, you bring up a couple of important points I want to follow up on. Number one, there's been some dispute. Some Democrats are saying that no, there is not going to be a cut in Medicare benefits to the elderly. They say there may be some reductions in the amount of money paid out for certain things to hospitals and clinics and so forth. Does it matter which part gets trimmed as to the type of care that seniors get?
Well, of course. In fact, the Congressional Budget Office has already scored, or that's the technical word for assessing the impact of these $500 billion in cuts, and they say that approximately 1% of the cuts will be eliminating fraud, waste, and abuse, so the rest is going to have an impact on actual care and medical institutions. And when you slow the flow of dollars into hospitals, it means fewer nurses on the floor, nurses spread even thinner, and less diagnostic equipment like MRIs and long waits for treatment.
Another aspect of this healthcare legislation that I know you've been concerned about and critical of is the end-of-life consultations, which the majority party says is about setting up a living will, power of attorney, that sort of thing. Apparently, a lot of lawmakers say that's now going to be taken out of the legislation because of people concerned like you who have said that this is going to lead to rationing of care and poorer treatment and denial of treatment to seniors as they get close to the end of life. Will taking that provision out of the bill reduce the threat to our seniors?
Well, I'm very glad that the Senate Finance Committee has made its announcement to remove this provision from the legislation. We'll see what the House does. But whether or not it's removed, we still need to be vigilant because the president has called on Congress to delegate its authority over Medicare, its decision-making authority over Medicare, to boards and councils that would be controlled by the executive branch, specifically by the White House. And that means they would not be accountable to the people. They would be unelected and unaccountable. And you've heard the president say many times, we have, quote, difficult decisions to make, unquote, quote, about end-of-life decisions and how much can be spent on the elderly. I don't want those decisions to be made in secret. Bad enough that there's a suggestion they will be made politically at all. I certainly don't want to see cuts in care to seniors, but to have it secreted away to the White House instead of in Congress is only worse.
Well, Betsy, they've mentioned, the president included, has mentioned the cost that pile up for end-of-life care, obviously, because that's when people are very sick and need a lot of attention and a lot of expensive procedures. But now they're backing away from that's how they're going to recoup money to pay down the deficit on this program. So if they're not going to deny treatment or at least delay it to the point where it doesn't matter anymore, how are they going to reduce those end-of-life costs?
Well, that's a false choice. That's not what needs to be done. It is true that Medicare's finances are unstable right now, but the Congressional Budget Office has proposed other solutions. Probably the wisest is to simply inch up the eligibility age 1 month per year until it reaches age 70 in 2043. That's plenty of notice for everyone, and it would spare elderly people from any kind of cuts to the care they actually need. I don't want to cut treatments for elderly people. Those procedures I mentioned earlier, a bypass surgery, angioplasty, and hip and knee replacements, have transformed the experience of aging over the last 30 years and made the later years really golden years, where people are not crippled by arthritis and trapped in nursing homes because they're short of breath from clogged arteries. We don't want to undo that, but Obamacare would undo that. Wonderful achievement.
And that's what I'm getting at. Given their rhetoric on this issue, they're obviously feeling the heat on it now and they're backing away from it, but that is the plan, right?
Well, certainly the rhetoric from the president and his chief health care advisor, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, is troubling. It's troubling because it constantly focuses on reducing care for seniors, reducing care at the end of life. You know, this would be a little easier if they sent us a postcard 6 months before the end of our lives, but we don't get a postcard. And when I hear people say, well, we've got to cut down on end-of-life care, physicians with whom I work all the time say to me, I don't know when my patient is going to die, and I don't want to withdraw care that could get them out of the hospital, back on their feet, and enjoying their grandchildren again.
We're talking with Betsy McCoy, former Lieutenant Governor of New York, founder and chairman of the Committee to Reduce Infection Deaths. And Betsy, I know another area you've looked at is the impact of waiting and rationing of care for all of us, but especially in terms of specialists. A lot of folks say you're not going to see much difference in terms of your access to your primary care physician, but a lot of times the most important treatments are going to come from those a step or more down the road who are specialists in their area. Explain how that could be in serious jeopardy based on your research if this goes through.
Well, this is particularly a problem. Much of this legislation in the House is based on the misconception that Americans overuse specialty care and push up health care costs in the process. The fact is, if you have heart disease, for example, and you rely on generalist care, primary care only, you are misdiagnosed more often, incorrectly treated more frequently, and die sooner. So when you have heart disease, which is the number one killer in the United States, you need routine access to a specialist. And that's true for many other diseases as well, cancer, for example. So it is a big mistake to shift all the resources from specialty care to primary care, both in training physicians and in reimbursing them. The idea that we don't need more specialists is simply wrong, and seniors will suffer the most because many of the diseases we've just discussed are age-related.
What would the reality look like, Betsy? I haven't fortunately needed too many specialists over the years, but when I have, I've gotten to see them within a day or two. What would it look like if this goes through?
Well, the major misconception in this bill, and it's something that the president has said many times, is if you like your health plan, you can keep it. He said that in New Hampshire again the other day. If you like your health plan, you don't have to do anything under this legislation. Well, that is simply untrue. If you have one of those great Blue Cross Blue Shield programs that lets you go to see your doctor anytime, see a specialist whenever you think it's necessary, those will be history. Because this bill, and I'll send you right to page 16 of the House bill, this bill will require you to give up that insurance and enroll in what the government calls a qualified plan. It's a managed care style plan. The government isn't telling you yet what it's going to look like. The bill says the commissioners will design it and list the benefits and tell you what's going to cost after the bill is passed. So you're really buying a pig and a poke. But the fact is that the bill makes it clear that you can't stay with the insurance you have now unless it is that qualified government-designed plan.
So the line that you can keep your plan if you like it is a flat-out lie.
It is. It's unfortunate because I have great respect for the office of the president, and I hate to see the president lying about that again and again.
Betsy, these town halls, of course, popping up across the country. What questions would you ask your congressman, if you haven't already, about this bill?
Well, first of all, I would encourage my members of Congress to read the bills, because we send them to Washington to look out for our best interests and protect us from misguided or hasty legislation, and this is an example of that. And unfortunately, many members of Congress have not read the bills yet, so I would hope they would read it. They express surprise when they hear what's in it. And secondly, please listen to the folks back home. Those are the people you are representing. And most Americans who have health insurance are happy with it, and they don't want to be forced to give it up, and that's what this plan will do.
Betsy, unfortunately, we're out of time. Where can folks learn more about what you've discovered about this health care bill?
Well, if you'd like to read the bills and the analyses with the page numbers, please come to defendyourhealthcare.us. You'll find a lot of valuable information there.
Defendyourhealthcare.us. Betsy,
yes.
Thanks again for your time.
You're welcome.
Betsy McCoy, former Lieutenant Governor for the state of New York, founder and chairman of the Committee to Reduce Infection Deaths. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.